Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you think of places in the world where a person has stood boldly to proclaim the truth about Jesus in a confused world which too often pushes God out, what place comes to your mind? For me, there are many, but may I take you to one place in particular where I stood a few days ago in Israel. It goes by two names, Banyas, and the name of the city which was there 2,000 years ago, Caesarea Philippi. There's a wonderful spring of fresh water bursting forth out of the rock cliffs, pouring down through the valley toward the Sea of Galilee. Centuries ago, it was surrounded by lush vegetation for animals to graze. Thus, this place became a natural stopping place for traveling caravans bringing their products from Egypt and Africa north, and from Asia west, and from Europe east. As the caravans paused at this crossroads to do business and graze their animals, they also shared news of the places from which they had come. It was the internet of 2,000 years ago, and it should not be difficult for us to imagine people learning of places they'd never been, great events which were unknown to them, and famous people they'd never heard of. A sheer cliff rises up from the flowing spring of water and grazing lands, and in that cliff, these travelers of centuries ago carved out niches in which to put their idols, and this place therefore became a remarkable place where travelers from all over the known world worshipped a wide array of gods using many different types of sacrifices and styles of worship. The idols are long gone, but the cliff and niches are still there, and here's a picture I snapped a few days ago when I stood in this place. Matthew is the disciple of Jesus who gives us the record of what happened here with Jesus. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Matthew 16. It was very easy for me, standing up on a high place, looking out across the valley, to imagine Jesus standing there with 12 men who had been walking with him all over Israel for the past several months. These normal guys, just like you and me, had seen amazing things, as Jesus had performed many miracles in many places. They'd heard remarkable things, as Jesus had taught small and large groups of people in the synagogues, on hillsides, in homes, in the Jerusalem temple courts, and even along the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. These 12 men had become known as close friends of Jesus, and I have no doubt people often approached them asking about Jesus or asking if Jesus would do a miracle to help them. There was a buzz all over the land of Israel about this Jesus. As I stood in that place the other day, it was very easy for me to imagine myself standing among the 12 disciples with Jesus. I imagined us talking about all the busy trading going on all around, or the travelers sitting under the trees sharing news of where they'd come from, but also some, perhaps many, crowded around the niches, praying, lighting candles, perhaps even sacrificing animals as they worshipped their gods. And then Jesus saying to us something like, "So, what do you guys think about all this? As you consider such a wide variety of people from places far and wide, and as we watch these people worshipping their idols, what are you hearing from the people we see every day? What are they saying about the miracles I've been doing, or the messages I've been preaching, or the power of God I've been demonstrating as I heal lame people or cast out demons? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Matthew tells us the disciples responded, "Some say you are John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Amazingly, all of those were famous dead people. Elijah had been dead more than 700 years, but was still revered as one of the greatest prophets of Israel. Jeremiah had been dead more than 400 years, and his legacy was held in the highest of esteem. John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod only several months before. I wonder how long Jesus paused, allowing these men to report what they'd been hearing. I wonder how many other examples were given. Can you see Jesus nodding as he listens? And then can you see Jesus cupping his hands over his forehead to shield his eyes from the sun? And looking at these men who'd been with him for so many months, Jesus asked them the penetrating question. "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" As Jesus' eyes moved from man to man in the group, I wonder how many of them looked away, struggling to keep eye-to-eye focus with Jesus. Jesus was calling them to honest self-reflection, honest transparency. What conclusions had these men drawn about who Jesus is and how Jesus could say the things he said and do the things he did? Finally, one of the disciples spoke up, Peter, of course. "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." I wonder with what tone of voice and what body language Peter made that statement. Was it bold confidence? Did Peter point directly at Jesus as he said it? Did Peter even take a step forward toward Jesus as he spoke? And what did the others do? Nod in agreement? Or look away, unsure, skeptical? I suspect Jesus paused and let that statement hang in the air a while as he continued looking at the wide range of the many people at the base of the cliff, or in the shade of the trees, or at the rushing cool stream. Finally, Jesus looked right at Peter and with boldness said, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Peter had not read it in a book or learned it from a teacher. Peter had drawn this powerful conclusion as guided by God himself. This was divine revelation. God had given a boldness and a statement which would distinguish Jesus from every other person, every other religious leader of all time. Jesus continued, "And I tell you that you are Peter, Petros, and on this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail." It is perhaps one of the most powerful and famous statements Jesus ever made. Peter's given name was Simon, but here Jesus powerfully confirmed the name Peter, which Jesus had given Simon when they first met. Peter, or Petros, means chip off the great rock, a small stone which is similar to the large rock from which it was cut. The rock, Petra, Jesus referred to, upon which Jesus promised to build his church, is not Peter, but rather that profound, powerful, unique, God-given truth which Peter had proclaimed, the identity of Jesus Christ. That truth, that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, the Christ, that truth, that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that Jesus is God the Son in human flesh, that truth is the cornerstone, the foundational truth of the Ecclesia, the gathering of people worldwide whom Jesus has called to himself and redeemed by his blood. Now, in closing, we must ask these powerful questions as we stand at the base of the cliffs of Banyas. 1. Are you part of the global Ecclesia, the church Jesus Christ has called to himself and purchased by his blood? 2. Who do you say Jesus is? Have you read your answer in a book or learned it directly from God who has revealed to you God's truth about Jesus? 3. What difference does the identity of Jesus Christ make in your life? Those are important, life-challenging questions, and your eternal destiny hinges on your answers, my friends. As you reflect deeply, here's a song to help you consider the implications of what Peter said.